श्री भगवान वाच कथम कश्यप दयादहा। ओके सो इट इज इन नाइन्थ एंड द टेंथ, इज इट टेंथ एंड द इलेवेंथ, इज इट टेंथ एंड इलेवेंथ, ओके। सला वृकाणां स्त्रीणां च स्वैरिणीनां सुरद्विषः सख्यान्याहून नित्यानि नूतनं नूतनं विचिन्वतां। सला ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ डीमंस, as monkeys, jackals and dogs are unsteady in their sexual relationships and want newer and newer friends every day, women who live independently seek new friends daily. Friendship with such a woman is never permanent. This is the opinion of learned scholars. Text 11. Shri Shuka Uvacha Iti Te Shvelite Stasya अश्वस्त मनसो सुरः जहसुर भाव गंभीरं ददुश्चामृत भाजनम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट। श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी कंटिन्यूड, आफ्टर द डीमंस हर्ड द वर्ड्स ऑफ मोहिनी मूर्ति हु हैड स्पोकन एज इफ जोकिंगली, दे वर ऑल वेरी कॉन्फिडेंट। They laughed with gravity and ultimately they delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Purport. The personality of Godhead in his form of Mohini was certainly not joking, but talking seriously with gravity. The demons, however, being captivated by Mohini Murthy's bodily features, took her words as a joke and confidently delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Thus, Mohini Murthy resembles Lord Buddha, who appeared Sammohaya Suradusham to cheat the Asuras. The word Suradusham refers to those who are envious of the demigods or devotees. Sometimes an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheats the atheists. Thus we see here that although Mohini Murthy was speaking factually to the Asuras took her words to be facetious. Indeed, they were so confident of Mohini Murthy's honesty that they immediately delivered the container of nectar into her hands. And if they would allow her to do with, and as if they would allow her to do with the nectar whatever she liked, whether she distributed it, threw it away, or drank it herself without giving it to them. Om Anyaniti Mirandare Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees so that I can speak something. So today's episode is the Lord incarnates as Mohini Murthy in order to bewilder the Asuras. So, in this episode of Samudra Manthan, we can learn many, many points, many, many lessons, moral lessons. One of the lessons which we can learn is that we can come to the conclusion of who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Krishna or Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can see that very clearly in the Samudra Manthan. Right from the beginning, when the Asuras were defeated, the Suras were defeated by the Asuras and they were driven away from the kingdom. At that time, they had no place to go. And at that time, they went to Vishnu. So Vishnu counseled them, gave them advice that this is where you should, what you should be doing. This is what you should be using, the Samudra as a liquid, the Mandara mountain as a churning rod, etc., etc. So he was counseled by, they were counseled. All the demigods put together were driven out of their kingdom. So they went to Vishnu. Vishnu told them the solution. Then they started getting the mountain. The mountain was so heavy that the demigods and the demons put together, they couldn't lift the mountain. All the demigods and demons put together couldn't lift the mountain. Then again they sought help of Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu came and picked up the mountain single-handedly, which all the demigods, 33 crore demigods, put together, couldn't lift that. Lord Vishnu came, and not only he, but actually he put it on the Garuda carrier. Even his bird could lift it, Lord Vishnu's bird, which even the demigods could not lift. So then later on, again, then after the mountain was placed in the ocean, it was sinking down. And again, the demigods were helpless. They went to the Lord Vishnu and they said, please, Lord, help. Then again, he incarnated as Kurma, supported the mountain. Then they started churning. And then after when the churning took place, so started off, then again the mountain was sliding towards the sides because it didn't have a pivot on the top. Again they went to Lord Vishnu. And again Vishnu incarnated as Ajita and held the mountain from the top. So again and again, you see. And then all the different, you know, things started coming out, beginning with the poison. They didn't know what to do. And then Lord Shiva came out. I'm sorry, Shiva came to the scene and he drank the poison. So again, now there could be some contention as to who's supreme, because Lord Vishnu is doing all these things, but ultimately the pinnacle is that Lord Shiva comes to the rescue. So Lord Shiva seems to be the hero. But now again, in this episode, the superiority of Lord Vishnu over Lord Shiva is again established. Why? Because we can see that this is the beginning of the bewilderment of Lord Shiva as the chapter comes. Will come later on. That Lord took the form of this wonderful lady called Mohini Murthy, and she was so attractive, so beautiful, that Lord Shiva wanted to see that form. Because he had seen all the incarnations of the Lord, but he had not seen Mohini Murthy. So after the episode of drinking the poison, he goes to Lord Vishnu and he says, please, show me that darshan of Lord, of Mohini Murthy. And she says, and he says, but you will be bewildered. He says, no, I will not be bewildered. The demigods are not bewildered. How can I be bewildered? It's not possible. So Lord shows his, you know, his Mohini Murthy form, and even Lord Shiva, the inspiration for all dhiras, sense control people, he actually got bewildered. So we can see in this pastime of Samudra Manthan that Lord Krishna or Vishnu being the supreme personality of Godhead is very firmly established. There is no doubt about it. Again and again and again and again we see that all the demigods coming together, going to Vishnu, supplicating their problems, and then Lord Vishnu giving the solution. So we can see very wonderfully, you know, without a iota of doubt, without any kind of confusion or hanky, there's no hanky-panky business in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's straight away dishing out the, you know, the facts that, okay, here Lord Vishnu is the supreme. There's no doubt about it. So this is the fact. And not only that, actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of controversies. People love controversies, isn't it? I mean, you speak about controversies, people... So here is another controversy. The Lord incarnated to cheat. Now, what is the purpose of Mohini Murthy? What is the purpose of this incarnation? So Lord incarnated in order to cheat, for the purpose of cheating. Now, when I was new in Krishna consciousness, early days, very early, so at that time, you know, I had a problem because one of the senior devotees was saying that the Lord also cheats. I said, what? The Lord cheats? Oh, no, not possible. How can the Lord cheat? Because every mundane moralist knows that cheating is sin, pap. Correct? Even in Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained. Abhyarthita stada sasmai sthanani dadaye kalau. Dyutam panam sthriyasuna. That the four things are the symptoms of Kali. One is cheating, gambling. So how is it that the Lord can cheat? So it was inconceivable for me, and I had a debate with him. So how is that possible? Not possible, impossible. You are not speaking philosophy and all that and everything. And then he said, no, the Lord also cheats. And I said, no, the Lord cannot cheat and this and that. And I had a huge, huge argument. So much so that I nearly came to the brink of, you know, not, you know, cooperating with him or whatever. And then today I am here sitting on how the Lord cheats. Because this whole section is on how the Lord is cheating. So how is it that? My argument was that how can the Lord cheat? How can a sin overcome the Lord? Because the Lord is supposed to be free from all sin, isn't it? And if sin is cheating is a part of adharma, then how can the Lord, Supreme Lord, who is Shuddham, Apapa Vidham, as it is described in the Shastras, that who is all pure, how can he be overcome by sin? So there is a difference between when human beings cheat and when the Lord cheats. When human beings cheat, it is for exploitation. And when the Lord cheats, it's for benefiting. When the Lord cheats, he may deprive a conditioned soul of some material benefits, for sure. But it is only to give spiritual credits. So he's taking material things to give something spiritual. It is not for the sake of exploitation. So here we can see that in all the episodes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the Lord comes to cheat the demons, it is only to favor them actually. Because it may appear that the Lord is partial. How can the Lord be partial? that he's coming and he's siding with the demigods and he's punishing the demons. How is that possible? Is he partial? No, he's not partial. He's actually favoring the demons more than the demigods. Because in a helpless condition, in a dilapidated condition, in a materially impoverished condition, one can actually take shelter of the Lord all the more. Whereas in a materially satisfied situation, it is very difficult to think of the Lord. So in one sense, there is more grace that the Lord is showing on the demons than the demigods. So this is a very important point actually. So the Lord is not partial. The Lord is not cheating in that sense. But actually the Lord is doing great favor. Even when the Lord kills the demons, he's actually what? He's giving them liberation. Is it not? I mean, some people say, "Arey, Bhagwan ne sab asuron ko mara." How can the Lord kill? But yes, the fact is that when he kills also, he gives them liberation. What about that? Is it not? What about that? So the Lord cheats, that's for sure. But he cheats for the sake of benefiting. Like for example, you know, a small child may be told, "Beta, have medicines. Please have some medicines. Take this tablet." And the son may say, "Oh, they don't want this. It's so bitter and everything. I don't want it." So what the mother may do? Mother may take, "Here, take the barfi." "You like barfi?" "Oh, yes, yes, I want barfi." "Or take the chocolate," or something like that. And the child will say, "Okay." And he's very nicely eating the chocolate, but he doesn't know that within the barfi, the mother has put the tablet or something, you know, the medicine. And he's eating the medicine, and he's eating the medicine thinking it's sweet. So in a similar way, the Lord may cheat for benefiting the conditioned souls. You know, so that is the essence. That is, so the Lord can cheat. But along with this comes various problems. If you think carefully, like for example, I was once in a train and we were discussing some things and some two fanatical people, they came from another faith, another tradition. So he asked, "So, which is the topmost book according to you?" So one of the people said, "Bhagavad Gita." So then he said, "Look, the book which we follow is the topmost because it was spoken by God himself." So that person also said, "Well, the Bhagavad Gita is also spoken by God himself. The word Bhagavad Gita means song of God, Supreme Lord, Bhagavan Vacha. The Gita also begins with Bhagavan Vacha. So God himself has spoken. Can there be any literature superior to this?" So no, and then he started quoting. So people feel that something spoken by God is final, topmost, and it is a fact, and it is not a fact also. Because the Lord is known to cheat. And that means that are all scriptures given by God the topmost? Is it giving the topmost religious principles? No. Even though it may be directly spoken by God, but still that religious principle may not necessarily be the topmost. So what is the proof of that? What is the proof of that? So the proof is that we can see that in the Vedic literatures also, there is a verse which says that how the Lord has incarnated previously to establish religious principles which is meant to cheat the people. Yes. So here is one verse from the Shastras which explains. Tatha kalau sampravritte sammohaya suradusham buddho namnanjana sudha kikateshu bhavishyati. Now, if I take the name of any religion, it will kind of be kind of, you know, in one sense, it may sound bad, but I'm just repeating what the scriptures are saying. And in one sense, I can use this the name of the tradition because they are very offenseless, so it's safe. And I know for sure that, you know, they won't do anything. Because otherwise, you know, there are certain traditions, if I take the name of it, then, you know, either the lecture will get banned or it may cause further controversies. So they are very peaceful people. And now I will read the translation. Then in the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, the son of Anjana in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theist. Here's a direct quote explaining how the Lord incarnated Swayam, Lord Bhagavan, for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theists. So now, well, why did the Lord do that? I mean, why should the Lord cheat. In the Gita, Krishna himself says, chalayam chalayatam asmi, chalam chalayatam asmi, that I am the best of the cheats. Recently, I was just going through some of the quotations of the Quran. You know, even in the Quran, it is explained, this nice verse. Munafiki nayu khadi unallah hawa huwa khadi uhum. In the Quran, there is a verse, which is a quote, which says, Behold, the hypocrites seek to beguile Allah, but it is Allah who will beguile them. That means, some of the hypocrites feel that they can cheat the Lord, but actually it's the Lord who's cheating the people. So the proof that the Lord cheats is there in all scriptures. In the Gita. So why does the Lord cheat? So we know that why Buddha appeared around 600 years ago. He appeared because at that time, animal killing had become very rampant. And they had opened slaughterhouses in the name of religion. Saying that how the Shastras are promoting animal slaughter. So they had organized slaughterhouses for the sake of propagation of religious principles. People were eating meat in the name of religion. So because of the perverse abuse of the Shastras, the Lord had to incarnate as Buddha in order to sway the people away from following the scriptures so that they can be separated from those sincere followers of the scriptures. After that purpose had been established, there was no reason for that religion to be followed. Because it is based on the rejection of the Vedas, which the Lord had to personally come and do because it was such a serious affair. Well, after that had taken place, then the Lord had to again send a very empowered representative, Lord Shiva himself, to establish another purpose of reinstating the faith of the people back onto the Vedic literatures. Therefore, he sent Lord Shiva again. So we can see that there are various examples of religious traditions which are not bona fide. So I just, as I said, because the peaceful people, I could take the names, but there are others also. But let us focus on some of the positive points. But some other traditions are also there. Like it is explained in Padma Puran. Kannada preached the Vaisheshika philosophy. Similarly, Gautam preached Nyaya. Kapil preached the atheistic Sankhya. Brihaspati preached the much censured Charvak doctrine. And Buddha proclaimed Buddhism to destroy the demons. So we can see it is with a purpose. In the Padma Puran, it is explained like that. So not only the Lord cheats, actually even the devotees cheat many times. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a quotation actually, and Prabhupada writes, in the section where Dhritarashtra and Gandhari leave the kingdom, Hastinapur, they were under the shelter of the Pandavas, and at that time Vidura comes there and somehow convinces them that why are you living at home at this ripe old age? You should be leaving home and engaging in the service of the Lord. Get out of the house! And somehow or another they become convinced and they leave the home. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, he comes there and he finds that Vidura, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, none of them are there at home. So he is lamenting and he is saying that, oh, these saintly men have cheated me. They have cheated me because they are depriving me of the association of their saintly association. So that's what he says like that. So Prabhupada writes that saintly people also are known to cheat. God is also known to cheat. Saintly people are also known to cheat actually. We can see that. But when great people cheat, it is for a great cause. It is not, how ordinary common people, conditioned souls, cheat. That is the four defects, one of the four defects of conditioned soul. So, how do we know now that if the Lord has spoken a particular tradition and established a particular tradition, how do we know that we are following the right tradition? Could be that we are also followers of a tradition which has been given by God himself, but it is not the correct tradition. So in the Shastras, this has been described, what is fake traditions, fake religious principles. Vidharma paradharmascha abhasa upamachalaha adharma shakha panchema dharmagyo dharmavat tejet. There are five basic false religious principles or traditions. What is that? Vidharma. One who never follows, that is another tradition. Then paradharma. Paradharma means one who rejects his own dharma and tries to imitate someone else. Like Dronacharya coming down, who was a Brahmin who was coming down to be doing the work of a Kshatriya. Paradharma. Pretentious religion. That means one is pretending to be following a religion, but he is not actually following it. That's pretentious religion. Abhas. Manufactured religion. manufactured religion means concoct, okay, maybe. You know, like there are so many, like this Darth Vader, one religion is there, it seems, I heard in the West. Darth, the Star Wars, one movie came up, and there was a Darth Vader, very famous personality in that movie. So from that, he became the Acharya, and from there, now the disciples are coming, and there are, and they have a parampara of that system. From a movie, a fiction movie, a whole tradition has come up, where there are gods, and you know, the mantras and tantras and all that thing. Then cheating religion with word jugglery, chala dharma, where the words of the authorized scriptures are misinterpreted for the sake of ulterior motivations, chala dharma. So one example of that is again in the Padma Puran of the Mayavad school of Adi Shankaracharya. It is explained, abhartam shruti vakyanam darshan loka garhitam swakarma rupam tajya tvam atraiva pratipadyate. That Adi Shankaracharya appeared for what? To propagate the Mayavad Advaita philosophy, which deprives the words of the holy texts of their actual meaning, and thus it is condemned in the world. It recommends the renunciation of one's own duties, since those who have fallen from their duties say that the giving up of duties is religiosity. In this way, I have also falsely propounded the identity of the Supreme Lord and the individual soul. So this is these are the words spoken by Lord Shiva, explaining that how he has incarnated as Adi Shankaracharya, and what misinterpretation he has given on the Vedanta Sutras, and how he has equated the conditioned souls with the Supreme Lord. And he's again saying, Vedanta tu mahashastrer mayavadam avaidikam mayeva vakshate devi jagatam nasha karanat. Similarly, in explaining Vedanta mahashastra, I described the same non-scriptural and inauspicious Mayavad philosophy in order to mislead the entire population towards atheism by denying the personal form of my beloved Lord. So even though he was the supreme devotee of the Lord, he has actually misinterpreted the scriptures. So what is the purport of this? Srila Prabhupada writes, the real religious principle is what? How do we understand that? So real religious principle is as Krishna explains in the Gita. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. To abandon all forms of religious principles and all forms of subordinate religious principles, and to simply surrender wholeheartedly without any selfish motivations unto the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So that is Srila Prabhupada so succinctly explains it in his books, that there is no chances of bewilderment or confusion as to what is the topmost religious principles. So a person who completely free from any selfishness, surrendering to the Supreme Lord, that is true religious principles. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The Yamdutas are quoting this verse. The Yamaraj is quoting this verse to the Yamadutas, where he says, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. That it is true that the Lord is the only person who can give religious principles. And what is that religious principle which is topmost? Savai pumsam paro dharmo yado bhaktar adokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So, it is all about satisfaction. And the ultimate religious principle will give ultimate satisfaction to the conditioned soul. And how is that? Because it is free from any kind of selfishness. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yado bhaktar ahaituki. It is free from any motivations. Apratihata, it is without any interruption. Yayatma suprasidati. And only then it can satisfy the soul. So it is so clearly explained by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You know, because generally people are bewildered. I mean, we have seen so many experiences there. Like we were distributing books in L&T. You know, and all the educated people from L&T were coming out, software professionals, and they were coming in. Purchasing books, and you know, they were just looking at these books, and I said, so why don't you take a Bhagavad Gita? That's a common reply. I said, so Krishna book lelo aap, you take the Krishna book. Bhagavad Gita, I'll read Bhagavad Gita first and then we'll take a Krishna book. I said, you know what is a Krishna book? No, what it is? The Krishna book contains all the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. said, oh, is it? Okay. All right. No, but I'm not interested right now. So I asked him, are you Hindu? He says, yes, I'm a Hindu. I'll ask you a few questions. Are you? Oh, yes, yes, yes. There was a huge group which formed. Huh? So come, he's going to ask us some questions. Let's see, let's test our knowledge of Hinduism. So I asked them simple questions. How many queens did Krishna have in Dwarka? Simple question, okay? It's very popular. And they were like, how many? They were looking at each other and, eight. Someone said, no, 108. Some people said something, but they never came to the right answer. I said, 16,108. Oh, okay. Then I asked him, so Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill. What was his age when he lifted the Govardhan Hill? And then again. I said, well, so you don't know what is, you know, I mean, don't you want to know as a Hindu what are these things? You know, what is something about Krishna, something about God, don't you want to know? Why don't you take this book and read it? I says, all right, some of them took it, rarely out of maybe 10 people, one person took it. You know, so that means what? What is the conclusion of it is that people don't know anything about Krishna, forget about what are the conclusions of the scriptures. Yeah. And, you know, the glory of Srila Prabhupada's movement is that anyone who comes, first thing he's told is, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakta Radokshaje. What is the topmost religious principle? Selflessly surrender to Krishna. See the glory of Srila Prabhupada, that he has made religion so transparent, so clear. He's told us the essence of the religion. This is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. What to do, what not to do. The four regulative principles, don't do. The regulative principles, do. There's no tradition like Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. Never find. You can see that. So this is the topmost religious principle as it is explained. And as that person was saying, what is the topmost scripture? So in this, you know, Shastra, again it is explained. It's like proclaiming, what is the topmost scripture? And I said, what is the topmost scripture? Like many people have, like one person, he came for a Prerana festival. And he was attending the program. And after that I asked him, so how did you find the program? How did you find the lecture? So he said, it's good, but the person who was speaking, he's not a true saint. I said, really? How did you come to that conclusion that he's not a true saint? He said, in the holy scriptures, it is explained that a saint will have a halo over his head. I said, really? Oh my God. So that was his conception of who a saint was. And I said, what else? So he said, a holy saint will have his eyes reddened, will be tinged with red. That is the quality of a saint. I said, really? Oh, wow. I said, but even when people drink, they have red eyes. How? I mean, when people drink, they have a red eyes, isn't it? And, you know, sometime when you're roaming around in the dark, you have some mosquitoes, you know. Kind of creating a halo over your head, you know, that you can mistake him for to be a saint. You know, how do you know that? So no, you don't understand. You know, but you know, my conclusion is that he's not a saint. I said, all right, fine, you take prasad and you can come again. So you see, that is the idea that people have. What is the topmost scripture? Who's the topmost saint? So what is the topmost scripture? So in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tap trayon mulanam. So dharma projita, one scripture which kicks out all lower forms of religion is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tap trayon mulanam. And just by reading the scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, one can experience supreme transcendental bliss. Srimad Bhagavate Maha Munikrite. This has been compiled by the topmost Rishi, Mahamuni, who is Vyasadev. One can find no other saint like Vyasadev. Spotless sage like Vyasadev. And who has compiled his Vedic literature in his spiritual maturity. Sadyo riddhe avarudhyate itra kritibhi shushru shrubitta kshanat. So therefore it is explained that there is no other scripture better than Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami is also explaining, Sarva Shastrabdhi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satfala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya, Sarva Lokaika Dirkprada. सर्व भागवत प्राण श्रीमद भागवत प्रभु कलि द्वांतोदितादित्य श्री कृष्ण परिवर्तित दैट सर्व शास्त्राब्धि पीयूष दैट इज एक्सप्लेन दैट ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स आर लाइक अ ह्यूज ओशन देयर आर लैक्स एंड लैक्स ऑफ वर्सेस इन द श्रीमद इन द वेदस इट्स लाइक इट्स कंपेयर्ड टू एन ओशन. And it's explained just like when you churn the ocean, just like the Samudra Manthan was taking place, what came out was halahal vish. So therefore, when you read the Vedas, what you get is poison, it is explained. Now what you may say is, what is poison? Poison in the form of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Finally, when all these things, dharma, artha, kama, moksha is exhausted, then you get the nectar. And it is explained that nectar is Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is symbolic because Sri Vyasadeva, who compiled the Vedic literatures, he compiled it after the Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam, after the Vedanta Sutra, and finally he gave Srimad Bhagavatam. The culmination, the quintessence of all the Vedic literatures. So this is a very important message that if we want to understand which is the topmost tradition, it should be understood, it is Sanatana Dharma, and which is the topmost Vedic literature, it can be understood, it is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, it is not a sentimental philosophy. Like once Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples and he once said, he saw one beautiful bungalow. Srila Prabhupada looked at it and said, someday we will have a beautiful bungalow like this for Krishna. And all the disciples said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So he walked a little further and he came across another one wonderful car. Looked at it, looked at the disciples and said, someday we will have a beautiful car like this for Krishna. All the disciples looked at each other. Wonderful car. Said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada went ahead and he saw a big dog. He looked at him and he looked at the disciples and said, someday we'll have a big dog like that for Krishna. The disciples looked at each other. Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him. You fools, why do you need a dog for? Why do you need a dog for Krishna? I mean, you don't need a dog to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada saw that, you know, the attachments of his disciples. So he wanted to cut that. And at the same time, he wanted to give a message that we should not be sentimental in following. One should use one's intelligence and not just simply blindly follow what has been told. You know, so many times, like we come across this very controversial subject matter, the Lord incarnated as a lady for the purpose of cheating. So it's quite a, in one sense, difficult to accept. And if you want controversy, there's a lot of controversy in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we can see that Mohini Murthy is come, the Supreme Lord has come in the form, and she is thoroughly, thoroughly bewildering the demons. Demons are looking at her and are thinking, oh. And they're thinking, and just look at it. I mean, they work so hard. They're churning the ocean, not a pot of milk or something, or, you know, churning the ocean. Churning the ocean. I mean, it's enormous energy involved with all the host of demigods. The effort which is required is phenomenal. Finally, with all those, you know, the poison coming out and all these things, and the demons are getting burned, and we have seen all that. Finally, to come to the point of getting what they have worked so hard to get. Nectar. Immortality. It's in their hands. And Mohini Murthy is coming. And they saw Mohini Murthy. And just being infatuated by the form of Mohini Murthy, they willfully hand over the poison to her. Yeah. Take it. Do whatever you want with it. And Mohini Murthy is speaking all these words of wisdom that you should not trust women who are, you know, corrupt and all that philosophy. Very gravely she's speaking, but they say, no, you are just, you know, yeah, it's just joking. We have faith on you. You take it. We trust you with this very important thing for which we have worked so hard. Take it. And if you want to distribute it. If you want to drink it. If you want to give it to us, you can give it to us also. They put complete faith. Imagine. Why? Because they're infatuated. That is the power of the illusory energy of the Lord. But the demigods were not bewildered. How was that? So to bewilder someone is in the hands of the Lord. We see even in, so many examples are there. In the Shastras, Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was constantly chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And in the face of this, in the face of a test, I mean, when he was tested, when that very beautiful, attractive prostitute came, but he was not bewildered. Because the Lord was protecting him. So it's the Lord's protection which is very important. So the Lord was protecting the demigods. But the demons who had the enjoyment mentality, they were like thoroughly bewildered. Even in the Bible, there is a verse, there is a Bible in the Quran, there is a episode of Joseph, who was a son of Jacob. And he was a very wonderfully empowered, a handsome, empowered representative of God. And he was thoroughly tested, thoroughly tested. But he was always untouched by the allurements and illusions of this world. So we can see that one who surrenders to Krishna and sincerely takes shelter of the Lord, then he is always protected. Here we can see that the demons are thoroughly bewildered. Even though we can see that the factors are the same for both of them. The same situation, they are in the same ocean, they are with the same facilities to churn, but we can see that the reward is going to the demigods. So we can see that all situations being the same, but the reward, as we can see, the Lord is siding the demigods. That is the essence. That when we are on the side of Dharma, then Krishna will protect us. Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Partha Dharudaraha, Tatra Shri Vijaya Bhutar Dhruva Netir Madirmama. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is great devotee like Arjuna, there will always be victory morality. And so that is the essence, basically. That we must always try to follow in the footsteps of the great saints and take shelter of the Lord. So we can see one of the characteristics of demoniac people is that they fall for the material allurements of this world. And there are other examples, like in the Mahabharata, there is a story of how when Draupadi gets wedded to the Pandavas, at that time the sages, they advise Pandavas that look, for a woman, there can be great fights. There have been great fights and there will be great fights in this world. And you are five people with one wife. There is a great possibility for war and dissension between you brothers. So therefore, you must be very careful and lay down rules and regulations for your association amongst you brothers. So therefore, then he spoke the story of Sunda and Upasunda. They were great demons, the sons of Nikumba, celestial demons who are highly empowered, and they possessed one quality which was very unlikely for demons, is unity. These two brothers were very strictly united. They had the same goal, same purpose. They always did the same thing. They entertained the same goals and ideals in life. They never did anything which opposed or hurt the other person. So the Sunda and Upasunda were very, very good friends, good brothers. So they had become so powerful by the ascetic meditations and their practices that the demigods also were threatened. So they went to Brahma. So Brahma decided to bewilder them by creating a apsara, a very beautiful heavenly damsel, Tilottama. So this beautiful apsara appears in front of these loving, close demon brothers. As soon as they see this apsara, immediately Sunda says, wonderful, just see the beauty. Here comes your sister and my wife. Upasunda says, no, here comes my wife, your sister. Because I saw her first. He says, no, I saw her first. And there was a huge battle and they killed themselves. Because they had a benediction that they can never be killed by anyone else but themselves. They had taken a benediction that no one can kill them. They had full faith that they will be united always. Therefore, they took the benediction that no one but themselves will be the cause of their death. So they asked that benediction. So just to split their loyalties with each other, great apsara. So we can see that this is one of the characteristics of demons, that they're immediately allured by the material representation in the form of the opposite sex. Could be man for a woman or a woman for a man. So, therefore, devotees, the lesson here that a devotee must always seek shelter of the Supreme Lord. Devihesh gunamai mamamaya durityaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantiti. That this material nature is impossible to surmount, to overcome, Krishna says. Devihesh gunamai, this is my energy. And Krishna's energy is very powerful. Conditioned souls cannot overcome it. So he says, Devihesh gunamai mamamaya durityaya mameva ye prapadyante, please take shelter of me. And then you can overcome. So in the age of Kali Yuga, mameva becomes nameva. Because in the holy name, to take shelter of Krishna means what? To take shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Nameva prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So in the age of Kali Yuga, one has to take shelter of. So what is the Yuga Dharma? The Yuga Dharma is what? Nam Sankirtanam yasya sarva pab pranashanam. The final word of Srimad Bhagavatam is Nam Sankirtan. That is the essence. The holy name chanted in the form of Sankirtan, coming together and singing, that what we just did. Many times in our programs, when I take program, I always say this, that the kirtan is not a warm-up, so that the main business of the lecture, that it will begin. Many times like a warm-up, and we do kirtan, and people, here and there, and finally, okay, Om Namo Bhagavate, and then, okay, now the main business is started. No, actually, the essence is the kirtan. Because that is what is the Srimad Bhagavatam saying. The last verse, Naam Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Pab Pranashanam. That Naam Sankirtan, not even Naam Jap. There are so many, seminars we have, holy name seminar, this and that, that's very good. But why not more seminars for Naam Sankirtan? How to do Sankirtan? How to chant loudly? How so that more and more people can come? So that people can participate in chanting the names of the Lord in unison. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So this is the process of which we should be taking shelter. We should remind ourselves that this is the process. Naam Sankirtan. So by taking shelter, and we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for having given us this wonderful movement of which we can take shelter of and always expect to remain free from the allurements, entrapments of this world. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.